brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
You know, we're getting D1 level multi-sport athletes that are playing this sport.
Be a part of knocking down stereotypes, not powder puff. It is heavyweights knocking each other around.
Yeah, we're mic'd up about every game. There's cameras following us around wherever we go.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast monthly edition. John here, Hannah there. And this one is kind of cool because we get to talk about something that is growing, 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 and growing here in the state of Georgia. Flag football.
Besides pickleball up in the suburbs.
Pickleball, well, so when we have...
Girls flag football
so when
is
we
the
have,
fastest
when
growing
we
sport.
So when we have Dr. Tim Scott on in 2 months, we're going to talk to him about sanctioning pickleball.
We
is
are.
That how this works?
We are. We're going to be like, hey, I know flag football is booming.
Hey, bruh.
But I've got a new one for you. High school pickleball league.
You're going to handle that conversation.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
I'm going to get my pitch ready.
Yes.
But no, in all seriousness, fastest growing sport. It is so fun talking to these coaches, championship coaches, about these outstanding programs and all these extremely talented and smart young ladies.
Yep. And we do have a couple of really cool relationships having to do with state champions this time around. We have a father.
Family matters.
Yes.
Didn't I do that?
Exactly. You have a father and a son up at Pope with the Frazier family. And we have a husband and a wife with the Cochrans down at Southeast Bullock. We're catching up with both pairs on the show this week.
Somehow, the chemistry is just perfect for state championships in these families. So, little secret sauce there. But this sport is getting so big. We know that the Falcons started this huge movement in our state. Over 300 programs now across the entire state and 45 new programs in 2025. So, really, really excited about what's to come. We were talking before we went on about just last season, some of the programs wouldn't even have their schedules done in September. And the season starts at the end of September because there were so many teams joining, you didn't really know who you were going to be playing. But now it's slowing down. It's getting settled in with 45.
Need a game, so. Got a game. You're trying to get all that stuff figured out. And the way that it has grown here in the state of Georgia, back on the 15th of May.
Politicians are getting involved.
I mean, you literally had a press conference gathering with the Family Foundation, Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation, the Falcons, the GHSA, and State Rep Brent Cox from Dawsonville, encouraging Georgia high schools to establish flag football teams. Here's a sample of that.
So this is House Resolution 347, and I want to give this to y'all and tell y'all so much that we support what you're doing. We'll continue to support what you're doing, and hopefully this gives a little bit of extra push that we can keep growing this and get all 457 teams in the state of Georgia playing girls flag football. Thank you.
So you had a Georgia House reps adopting House Resolution 347 during the 2025 legislative session, urging all Georgia high schools to establish girls flag football teams. And you're now getting Division I college programs, not just NAIA Division III, Division II, but there's a school in Nevada that is actually starting their athletic program, and one of their tent poles is going to be flag football.
So then
I think it's the University of Texas at Dallas, I think, is adding flag football. They made that point this year as well. So, I mean, literally, we've had on our air, we have had coaches come up to us when the games are over, and they're offering athletes scholarships like on the spot after the game is over. That's how big flag football is getting.
Well, and just our TV ratings for our championships in December. Everybody's watching this stuff. Everyone's streaming this stuff. These girls are so talented, so incredible. It's not powder puff. It's real flag football. And one thing the GHSA has been doing, they've been pushing South Georgia to create more programs at their schools. And it's really working. It's really working. Over 300 programs.
This season, you're going to see more programs that haven't had flags starting flag football programs. And seeing where this is, it's been really cool to see this explode the way that it has here in the state of Georgia.
Well, these coaches we have on today are multi-state champions, and we will start with Kevin and Mark Frazier there in East Cobb at Pope. Joining us now on the podcast is Kevin and Mark Frazier, head coach and assistant coach to the Pope Greyhounds girls flag football team. Guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Back-to-back state championships, repping East Cobb awesomely. How special is your season and this team that you've created, this program?
Who do you want to start?
We will start with Kevin Frazier.
Yeah, we had an amazing year. I think going into the season, we didn't really know what our expectations were, just because we had a lot of new pieces and a lot of new people that had to step up into leadership roles. So we had a ton of unknowns going into the year. And then once we kind of started to figure some things out, we really got rolling. I think we won our last like 19 games. And so the confidence that the girls had in each other, and then as their coaches, I mean, we just kind of started to bond and really felt like we were kind of a well-oiled machine by the time the playoffs came. Got a big scare in the first round. Chattahoochee played us better than probably anyone all year, and won at the end. And then I think that just kind of rocked our world a little bit and got us to lock in and play our best flag football in December. So it was super special to win again. We are thankful to coach together, father and son, and really excited about the girls that we have coming back for next year as well.
So, Mark, how difficult is it to repeat in flag football, considering how the sport has been growing here in the state of Georgia?
Great question, and I would say very difficult. We said that we felt like every team's level rose from the first year to after we won the championship the first time till the second year. Everyone got better. Coaches got more sophisticated. We feel like coaches got better. They started studying more, watching more film. More girls seem to be playing the sport. And I would say it was much more difficult.
Mark, same question for you. This is a safe space. What is it like with your son as the head coach? How do you guys mesh and work together? I know you're stepping into a little bit of a different role this year, but still very much a part of the team.
It's been awesome. It's truly been one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. Getting to coach with these girls and to do it with my son and to get a front row seat to watch him just live his dream and his passion. And he won't admit it, but he's just so good at it. He's so good at the X's and O's. He's so good with the girls. The girls are fantastic. Their families are fantastic. It's just an honor to be part of the program. And I just try to support him in whatever way that I can.
So, Kay Frazier, how did this start? What was this first conversation like? It's like, hey, Dad, I'm doing flag, and I want you to be a part of this. What was that first conversation like about getting the two of you to be on the staff?
Yeah, so we've always watched sports together growing up, and we're sitting on the couch even now, like breaking down what we think should happen or what went wrong there or whatever it is, just father, son. It's always what we've enjoyed doing. And we started in 2021 as our first season, and went through the year, kind of was brand new to the sport, was brand new to, like, we didn't know we had a team until July. So there was just a lot. I was first year head coach. I really had no clue what I was doing.
And I wasn't there then. So Kevin, yeah. With a little help.
Yeah. So, and I just had Coach Woodson, who's my on-staff assistant the past 4 years, and was really like, man, we need more. We need at least another coach. And somehow I think we just got to talking, and I was like, hey, what if you just came up here during the season and, you know, lived here and coached with me for 3 to 4 months a year? And it just kind of turned into, okay, we're going to do this. And then so in 2022, my dad started, and then we kind of, our text chain goes off like mad every single day. So we're constantly talking. And it's just been a blast. It was one of the best hires I could have ever made.
Hey, Hannah, you might appreciate this. Yeah. The first year that we started doing this together, you know, I lived in Alabama with my wife. Kevin had twins. And so it worked out very well so that we could come and move to Atlanta, get
and
an
help.
Airbnb
and
for
help
3 months,
with all the
and
twins. Help.
My wife could help with the twins while yes. I went to practice and help with Kevin. And so she loved it and we loved it. We got to know the twins real well. And then we got to do this as a bonus.
Oh, that is invaluable. Wish I had that yes. help. You are so lucky, Kevin.
I know. I really am.
You have no
Extremely
idea.
Extremely blessed.
Well, Kevin, for you, what's the biggest difference from the first day of practice, what, 5 years ago now, until now? How is it different with Flag? What are the systems? What are the new training elements? How has it evolved in this short amount of time?
Yeah, going back to what my dad said, you can definitely tell that the other programs in the state are buying into the sport, not just the coaches, not just the schools, but the players. You know, we're getting D1 level multi-sport athletes that are playing this sport. And I think, you know, early on, I remember, you know, oh, Pope's adding a flag football team and everyone's like, oh, is that like Powder Puff?
Yeah.
You know, and at the time, maybe it was a little bit more like Powder Puff, but it is very legit. I was just telling one of my friends that I'm here with that they really need to come check out a game because these girls are like really, really good at football. And you might think, you know, football being new for girls, you know, we're a football country. So now the girls get to play football and have a ton of fun with it. I think because it's not, I think we get a little bit of an advantage that it's not a D1 sport yet because they get to just have fun with it. You know, they're not, you know, burning it all out to try to make a D1 program. They're just doing it because they love to play and compete. So it's definitely grown into more and more of a competitive sport, which has been really fun to see.
So, Mark, what's it been like to see this program be a part of knocking down stereotypes and that whole Powder Puff thing where it's not Powder Puff, it is heavyweights knocking each other around. You're going to neighboring states now and playing. What's it like to see all of these stereotypes get knocked off to the side with this sport?
Gosh, I just think it's fun to see. And like Kevin said, the girls just love it. And Kevin really does a great job at making it fun. And Kevin and I are really just a couple of idiots out there with them. And sometimes we play with them. I mean, talk about the athletes that they are. I think we had four girls that could run five flat 40-yard dashes on our team last year. And so I would play defense sometimes, legitimately trying, and I'd run up on a girl, then she'd put it on in another gear and take off. And I'd be like, you just did that on purpose, didn't you? Just to make me feel old.
Yeah.
Baiting the old man.
Yeah.
Hey, fair game.
And then, yeah. Then we have like they want to try field goals. So, I mean, legit, these girls are kicking 35-yard field goals like it's nothing. And then I go try and then they tell me never do that again once I pull my hamstring muscle. And so it's really awesome. They're great kids. They're great athletes. And as you know, great students as well.
Yeah, let's talk about some of them. You get one of your stars back, Abby Bensman. She was the quarterback for only 6 months before stepping in, leading the team to victory. And then the average GPA on this team, 4.40, the average. So talk about some of your returning players, the talent, the smarts, all of these fantastic girls, and really either of you. Kevin, if you want to go.
Yeah, I can start, and I'll let my dad follow where I mess up, but Abby is one of the smartest people that you'll meet. She's near a 4.7 GPA as a
wow.
junior.
Wow. Wow.
I think she's in the running to be the valedictorian. She is the star basketball player, obviously star flag football player. I'm extremely excited to have her back, and she's already looked, you know, last year she had never played quarterback. She had seen her sister do it. And she learned a ton along the way of the season. And now you can just tell, you know, going into her senior year, she's been in the program for 4 years. She's extremely confident. And also I've seen her step up as a leader this summer, and excited to see her grow into that leadership role. But we couldn't be more excited about Abby. And then we're returning a good bit of players, a few, that were first team all area last year in our area. Lily Joswick is a great defender on our team that plays corner, and she will be in on offense some this year as well. I would say that this year's team, who we're returning, I would say top to bottom is probably going to be our fastest team that we've had. It's just a matter of stepping up into new, bigger roles. You know, sophomores and juniors that maybe had a small role now have a big role. So how do they respond to that will be a big question. And then last part, that 4.4 GPA, I mean, that's like at least 1.4 higher than my GPA.
2.4 out of mine, brother. I'm right there with you.
I cannot even imagine that. And I don't even know, like, if one person has a 4.4 GPA, that would be like, wow. Our team average of 17 girls at that GPA, which is just really unbelievable. And I've told a lot of people, a huge reason for our success is how smart our girls are, where I can put a lot on them as we go through the season and start adding more and more plays. And they're doing a lot of stuff from memory that they can just pick up quick. So, really excited about this year's team. I think there's opportunities for them to grow and speed, and we'll see how they step into these new roles. But it is nice to have Abby back leading the way. It's a quarterback-driven league, and we've got one. So
I'll just add that Abby has just a great personality, too. She's such a fun girl. And, John, you probably saw that when you interviewed her as the MVP of the state championship game, just yep. How great she is to talk to and just a great all-around person.
Our season was a little bit more difficult than it was last year. We took two losses, but we pushed through it in the end. Today we all came here, we were all ready, we prepared, we watched hours of film, and we were all really nervous. My stomach was aching in the beginning, but as you began playing, it was just like every other game, and we pulled through.
What's it like to have the support back here that was there today for you guys?
I'm so grateful for the fans that came. My sister's back and came with a big head for me, and I just love everyone that's here and came out for us.
Well, if this is your fastest team, maybe we're going for number three. We will have to see what happens this fall. The season starts in September. Last question for you guys. Have tryouts already happened? What does this summer look like leading into this season?
Yeah, we did have tryouts in May. We had our biggest tryout ever by like double. We had 75 girls at tryouts, which was amazing. It's always the most challenging week of the year for me because I hate cutting people, but we had to do it. We had so many kids come out, and it was just really competitive, which was exciting. I kind of give them a lot of time off in June just because we have kids camp. They play their other sports. And so we'll get geared up going into July. We're playing in that Corky Kell 7-on-7 event, July 9th. And then we'll do a couple weeks of practice and then play in the South Forsyth, Georgia Kickoff Classic, which is July 26th, I believe. Then we'll just do some 4-on-1 work leading into the September season. And we've got a new coach helping me on the field this year, Coach Fox, who actually I played for in ninth grade basketball at Pope. I've known him for a long time. He's such a fun guy. All the kids love him. He's been a great culture fit so far. So he'll be leading some workouts this summer as well. So we're excited about Coach Fox. And it should be another fun year, hopefully.
All right. Well, Kevin and Mark, thank you so much for being here and sharing these stories with us and the time. We really appreciate it. And we cannot wait to see what happens with the Pope Greyhounds girls flag football this season.
Awesome. Thank you guys. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
One dynamic duo down, one to go. And it's always fun to catch up with the Cochrans, Marcy and Nick, the head coach duo at Southeast Bullock, because when you say Brooklet, Georgia, unless you were a diehard in athletics in the state of Georgia until just recently, you didn't really know that it was Southeast Bullock. Now, Southeast Bullock, Brooklet, Georgia, and the Cochrans are putting together a D word, the dynasty in flag football.
Joining us now is Marcy and Nick Cochran, head coach and assistant coach of the Southeast Bullock Yellow Jackets flag football team, girls flag football team. Thanks so much for being here, guys.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Your program just continues to make history. 4 state titles in a row, an overall program record of 82-1. What makes this group of girls so special, and why do you think you guys are so far ahead of the pack?
I mean, I just think with their athletic ability that God gave them, first of all, because can't do anything without that athletic ability. But and then they're just buying into what we sold them 4 years. Actually, we were just talking yesterday at our tournament that 5 years ago was our first practice. And we had like 11 girls out there that didn't even know what they were doing. It was fun to look back on the pictures that we took that day. And we didn't really, I mean, we knew what we were doing to an extent, but also we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. But for them just to buy in that one day, that one summer practice that we had, and it was just, it's just been amazing. So yeah, their athletic ability, a little bit of our knowledge, and just the buy-in to that we're going to win the state championship helps a lot. Yeah.
And also a lot of luck. We're not head and shoulders above everybody. It's a grind. It's a grind every game. I mean, we're sitting there grinding out every game. We're preparing every game, and it's a grind. So it's not a head and shoulders above or anything.
What's it been like for the two of you to see the sport grow to where it is now, to where folks know where Brooklet, Georgia is and what it means to flag football on a national scale?
Yes, people know Southeast Bullock. Yeah, like it's amazing.
Everybody knows in the flag football world about SEB. What's it like to be at the front end of all of these discussions now?
Well, I have more gray hair, I think, because of that than I've ever had before. Even my players pointed that out yesterday, like, coach. I'm like, well, thanks. This is all y'all. It is stressful, but it's a lot of fun. It's good to be known that we put Brooklet on the map. Our team did. And kudos to those girls for doing that. But it's great to see the sport grow in itself. Just from when we started 5 years ago to today, I mean, from it going to scholarships for our kids that are playing in college now to a chance to play in the Olympics. It's just amazing to see how much it's grown, even just in little old Brooklet with our, you know, one caution light and people wanting to play flag and recognizing our flag players. And there was a conference that one of our teachers at the middle school went to out in Seattle, and she was sitting at a table and she's like, "You're not going to know where I'm from. I'm from Brooklet." And she goes, "Yeah, I do. Y'all have a flag football team that's really good." The lady texted Nick immediately because she was Nick's coworker and said, "You won't believe what just happened." So it's amazing how just flag football has put our community and our little town on the map here.
And the trickle-down effect, too. Like, you start seeing, your football team's getting better. Oh, these other sports are getting better. Everybody kind of rallies around. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
I mean,
what were you going to say, Nick?
Yeah, Nick, what were you going
to? Oh, I was just saying, you know, it used to be, when somebody asked, "Where are you from?" And, you know, we'd say, you know, "Where Georgia Southern University is." We're about five, you know, now you can say Brooklet, Southeast Bullock, and people do know, oh, yeah, y'all the ones that hadn't lost a game, you know, at that point, you know, back a few years ago. And it was just like, you know, just keep it going. And now we're able to say, yeah, we're from Brooklet. We coach at Southeast Bullock, and people recognize where that is and what it is.
And they say, oh, the team with only one loss.
Yeah.
Oh, only one.
Only one loss in program history.
Insane. So not flag football statewide, but your particular program from 5 years ago to now, what are the biggest changes, like equipment or training or practice? What is like the biggest change that you've seen that has helped level you guys up?
I think it's just our girls learning the game so fast, and we as coaches are having to learn it a little bit quicker than they are, and trying to find new ways to motivate them, one, to continue to want to win, and two, just to practice, really, because when, you know, you've only lost one game, it's hard to motivate yourself to practice every day, and just finding new drills and new ways of motivation and new plays that make it fun for them, so it's not the same thing over and over and over again. I think that's one reason we can stay at the top, because we're trying to do different things at practice, or, you know, things like that.
Nick, when you look at before we had the two of you on, we had the Frasers on from Pope, and that's a father and son dynamic that's there up at Pope with Kevin and Mark. And with you and Marcy, obviously, it's another drawing card for folks to sit there and say, "Oh yes, it's the
something
husband
on with this family dynamic state championships."
But, yeah, so I mean, and what, you know, what's it been like for the household to be a part of this and be a part of the growth and be a part of the forefront of flag football? What has it been like for
more of the gray hair, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, so, yeah, what's it been like for the family to experience this in under that same roof?
Well, when we got married, we've both been into coaching. And so we've coached with each other together, coached our daughter in different sports previous before. I still remember the time, and I'll tell this little story. I'm the middle school athletic director. She was the middle school girls basketball coach. I was also the assistant girls basketball coach. And we're in a middle school championship game, and the ref which I also referee high school basketball, so all the referees.
Oh my
know
gosh,
me.
What don't you do?
And so, anyways, a long story short, the referee says one word out of you, Nick, you're going to get a tech. And Marcy just basically lambasted me. I mean, she blasted me right there in front of the whole crowd and said, you know, basically, we're done if you get a technical foul. And I'm like, he ain't going to tee me up, whatnot. Well,
I'll point my finger in his face.
Yeah. And so, anyways, after the game got over, we won the championship, and she goes, somebody, it's about time for a raise. And I said, well, if you didn't yell at the AD, you may would have got a raise. But now you're not going to get a raise. So
did you get the raise?
Yeah, I got a little bit of a raise.
Okay, okay. That's all that matters, really.
So
no help to him. I had to go.
She had to go to the principal to get that, not for that.
Oh,
but,
man.
So it's always been a part of us of coaching together. And I coach with some friends of mine too in other sports as well. And you know, people say it's like a little show on the side. You know, I'm yelling at Marcy, she's yelling at me during the middle of the game because of different things. So it's just, we're both intense. We both like to win and we both want to win. So it's, and our daughter, unfortunately has to live with us, and it takes a toll. Like there's sometimes, like, you know, something happened in a game, you know, and then we got to try to switch that role of, yeah, you know, father, mother, not coach, mm-hmm, and console her or whatever happened, or praise her when we need to praise her and things like that. So it's been a fun, wild adventure all through our coaching, but I wouldn't take anything back.
And so, countless memories, absolutely. And so much, yeah, family time. I can see how that'd be hard to turn off coach and like, oh, mom and dad. I can see how that would be a lot, but you
one
guys
of the hardest
are,
times. Was, yeah. Okay, one of the hardest times was after we did lose our first game, yep, to Calvary, and yeah, we're at home, so we couldn't just leave. We had to clean up the field and get the lights off and make sure everybody left. And our daughter, you know, because we're both there, she had to go home by herself and cry forever, probably till we got home, you know. So that's one of the hardest times is, you know, switching from, okay, everybody get out. We got to, yeah, go. We have a daughter we got to take care of too while y'all are all consoling your kids, you know. So, yeah. But yeah, it's a fun ride. It's fun to coach with Nick, and I wouldn't change it for the world, even though we do get a little fired up. Our players even laugh. They're like, oh God, here they go. Who do we listen to? Marcy or Nick, you know? So it's a lot of fun.
So who do they listen to? Yeah, Marcy or Nick?
Yeah.
Marcy. Yeah,
I was going to say, he better go like this.
It's definitely Marcy. That's who I listen to too.
No, that's the correct answer.
The passion, though, the passion comes through with the state championship. So I love it. You guys are doing something right now that's challenging you as well, with a TV crew following, uh-huh, you around, yeah, for a documentary. John is getting involved in this documentary too with an interview. Tell us about what's
John
going on.
John is frightened about this.
Yeah. It gets better, I promise. At first, so yeah, like before we started our season, it was last spring, I guess, before this past season. A film crew reached out to us, independent documentary group, and wanted to know if we were interested in, you know, them following us around and doing our season. And so, after talking with our, you know, county superintendent, principal, the kids, and all that, we agreed to give it a go and see how it goes. And so they've been with us since last season. And when they found out we were only losing two players this season, they decided to come back for a second season. So yeah, we're mic'd up about every game. There's cameras following us around wherever we go. The players get involved in it and they're mic'd up some, not during the game, but outside the game. And camera crews riding in your front seat with you on the way. I'm like, do I talk? Do I sing? What do I do? It's just so crazy because I'm like, you know, it's like a movie. Like, it really, this person's sitting right here and you're like, okay, do I look at you? And like, how does this work? And now it's become part of our like everyday life. So we're pretty much used to it. Them and they're part of our family now, really. So it's fun. Most of them, Christine is one of the main ones. She's the director. She lives out in California. So while we were dealing with hurricanes, she was helping us. And then we turn around like not even a month later, they're dealing with fire. So it's been an interesting dynamic and how this has all played out. And we were talking yesterday at our tournament, like, are we going to have like a UN red carpet thing when it comes out and the girls are all laughing about it, stuff like that. So, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been so crazy. And, but it's been fun. Something so different.
When's it going to be done? Do you know?
So they're going to film all this season. Okay. And when we're done, it'll take about 2 years for it to be complete. And then they'll sell the rights to somebody.
Okay. Oh, can't wait. I can't wait that long. What?
I know. Come on now.
Oh, my God.
I can. It's a little nerve-wracking. Like, oh, God, what did I say?
We got to get closer to retirement before it all comes out.
Okay, that's true. That's true. Yes. That's true. You got to get in those years. Got to get in that tenure.
Yes. So when it comes to your schedule, because of who SEB is now in flag football, is it, and we ask this of tackle football coaches that are successful all the time, is it difficult to fill out a schedule now because of who you are and what you're accomplishing, or does everybody want to sit there and try and knock off the big dog? I mean, what's it like scheduling these days?
It's a little of both. I'm the one that deals with the scheduling, which is a headache also. It depends on who it is and who, you know, what kind of coach they have, of course, and how bought in they are. It is very tough for us to fill our schedule. One, we're dealing with sharing players too. So we're having to look at fall sports and see when we can get those games in. Then when can we use the field? Then when can the referees show up? Can the other team show up at the same time? That plays a big part in it too. But we do this season, especially a lot of people wanted to play us last season because they thought we were down a little bit. Losing five big seniors. We did get a little more games. This season, we're five games short. But part of the problem, too, is travel so hard. We can play the people down here, but then some of them, if they don't want to play you, we have to go to Augusta. Then we're actually going to Warner Robins one day during the school year to play two games, which is like a 2-hour bus ride for us, if longer. I mean, just to get some games in so we can have those, you know, have that game, or having to travel to Brunswick or that far. I mean, so the travel has become where we're having to get up and go so we can at least finish our schedule out.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at your schedule and I was like, it's a little thin, but I know we got time.
Yeah. And we're still trying, like, I mean, we are going to play Calvary at some point, and we're working on some dates with that. We got a couple in the works. We're just trying to figure out where we can put them. And like I said, when we have to share those athletes, we have to wait till softball's over sometimes to get some of those games in, which will be tough. We'll play three nights in a row or during the week after softball season ends just to finish our schedule.
Wow. Nick, what were you going to say?
I was going to say our softball team, you know, they're successful. They usually go to Columbus every year. So that, you know, having to wait on that. And then what people don't really realize is our football stadium at Southeast Bullitt High School hosts the middle school, the high school, everything is played on one field. Mm. We don't have multiple fields. We don't have an indoor facility like other people, you know, so it's weather permitted. Everybody's using it. So it is a big strain on trying to schedule games, especially home games, to try to fit in when we can make sure we have a team and, like she said, a field ready to play.
Very last question for you. Tryouts this year. Were the girls just wrapped around the school? Was the parking lot full? What was it like?
We started a middle school team 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So since we started that, our tryout numbers have gone down. Okay. Before that, we were every eighth grader wanted to come play.
Yeah.
So a rising ninth grader, they were out there. If you were a girl, you were at flag football tryouts. Now that they now that we have that middle school team, our numbers have dropped some because they realize, one, we're absolutely crazy and they can't play for us. Or two, they don't want to, like, this sport really ain't for me. I'm not willing to dive after flags or, you know, lay out for balls. Like, oh, that's not for us. So that's cut our numbers down drastically, just having that middle school program. In return, though, it's helped us continue to grow our program and get better. So there's a trade-off.
And quality over quantity, too, and that helps.
Right.
All right, guys.
Yeah, it's a trade-off.
Well, thank you both so much for being here. We cannot wait to see what happens this season. We're ready. I'm anxiously awaiting that documentary too. My new baby is going to be like three by the time it comes out. So that's crazy to think about. But good luck this summer and with everything this fall. And we can't wait to catch up again.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, y'all. Thanks for everything you do for our sport too.
Thanks.
Can they go for number five? That would be amazing.
You're already.
They're going to kill me.
Yeah.
I know. It is so exciting. But I mean, it's fun. Yeah. I love this sport so much.
Yeah. It's been fun to see how it has grown and to get these family stories that are attached one way or the other. It's always really cool.
I know. All right. We have top news in flag football. What's going on, John? Give us our report.
I feel like we should get like a breaking news sounder or something. But Greenbrier's girls varsity flag football program, once again, we saw them last game of the year. We know what they can do. Daniel Jordan is stepping away. He's going into an administrative role there in the county. So he is was an assistant coach for Greenbrier's varsity girls golf team. Head coach for flag football announced that he's going to become the next assistant principal at Greenbrier Middle. And he was quoted in local media. He's like, I don't think it's fully hit me yet, but there will probably be some emotions that come along with it. 5 years the GHSA has done it. Back-to-back Division II state championships in 24 and 25. And so alongside head coach Casey Heckathorn, helped the girls golf team. Heckathorn, we know that name from the championships in flag football. 18 years coaching. 35 different teams, 1,000 athletes, 2,000 students, and so big news at Greenbrier where Coach Jordan is leaving the sidelines, Daniel Jordan leaving the Greenbrier sidelines to go into administration, but back-to-back state champs, and so that's going to be one of the great storylines coming up this season.
Yeah, and I think that Pope was playing them soon, so Coach Fraser didn't even know. He was like, oh, coaching change.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the heads up. We need to do the breaking news sound again.
Oh, we do? Yes. I was like, wait a second.
We have good news and we have bad news.
Okay.
What do you want first, John?
So are you going to do the breaking news?
You already know the good news.
Well, but are we going to do the bad news?
Well, we'll do the bad
news.
I'm going to be missing all of these flag football games.
Yeah.
Because there's another baby Gooden on the way.
Yeah. So you want to pull the laptop off to the side?
I do not. We are halfway with baby girl number three.
So profile. Let's go profile. Let's go.
End of October.
Go with the two shot. Here we go.
Oh boy.
There
it is. Do it the end of October.
So turn to the camera.
We'll be missing.
Yes.
Missing the flag football. Missing the foosballs. So we didn't plan this very well. That's my news of the day.
But there's going to be yet another girl.
Yes, three girls. Three good girls.
Yeah.
And so, I didn't get my football player, but I have my flag football player.
Yes. See, you have three flag football players or two golfers and a flag football
player. Two golfers and a flag football player. That would be awesome.
How is that bad news?
Oh, well, the bad news, I'm missing all the games.
Okay.
That's the bad news.
And so the good news is that there's going to be yet another girl.
Yes, that's the good news.
Okay,
good news,
just checking.
Another baby, healthy girl. Bad news, missing all the flag football games.
All right, so before we get out of here, we turn, and this is where we turn, and we ask the questions. It is time for our moments of wisdom.
My favorite part of the show.
As we can tell. So it is time for our moments of zen and our moments of wisdom. And so now that we have, but the thing is, it's not really good. It's not bad news, though, other than the fact that she's not going to be there. Marky Mark, what words of wisdom are you willing? Do you have to impart upon the communities for this month's show before we do one more? And then we go full blown. It's All Stars is next month, by the way. Before we get ready for high school football season.
Awesome.
But when you think of words of wisdom, what words of wisdom are coming to your brow that you're willing to let folks know about this month?
You know, John, I put a lot of thought into this, like a lot of thought already. I didn't come up this right on the spot right now.
Okay.
No, not in the slightest.
Okay.
But no, what I was thinking about, you know what? Enjoy your summer on this. I actually just this weekend came back from a cabin. Me and my girlfriend spent some time in Alabama.
Ooh.
Wonderful time out there. Went on some really nice hikes. Saw the Coosa River. I'm trying to think. Went to an incredible winery. Just enjoy your summer. We only got 2 to 3 months of it. Go for it.
So enjoy your summer.
I miss wine.
So what is your substitute? Water?
Tea.
This is what happens when you miss football season, or when you're going to miss football season. So now
that sounds like a beautiful weekend, by the way. Idyllic, love it.
Yes, The boss and I, actually, we have joint birthdays coming up.
Yes. Yes, you do.
And so we have time planned, actually, outside of our house. As
shocking.
The boss and I and the rowdy man.
Yeah, is Rowdy coming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that awesome. Was because we're not going to be under our roof for 3.5 days.
Oh, wow.
And so he is coming with, and we have made sure that the location that we are going.
Where are you going?
We're going to a resort.
Where?
In Alabama.
Wait, that's where he was.
But it is not a cabin based idyllic environment. Oh. It is an environment. It is a resort outside of a city that is attached to a golf trail.
That is
right in that same area, and we are scouting.
Are you worried we're going to show up and ruin your trip?
No. But I am worried that the rowdy man would probably end up barking and be barking for like 9 hours straight if anyone came within 30 feet of the boss, because he is incredibly hyperprotective when it comes to these things. No, I don't want anybody to see my golf game because it would be so bad. The Rowdy Protection Agency is the larger element in all of this.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Thank you for the advice. We will soak in this summer of no childcare and chaos at my house, and it's just going to be bliss.
Notice the laughter that's attached to that laugh track. See, this is where we insert the laugh track in the studio audience here.
Just different perspectives.
Yes.
Different stages of life.
Yes. So I believe that's another month.
That is another month, another podcast. That was a great one. Oh, yeah. Flag football gets me.
Yeah.
So excited.
Yes, because you have flag football athletes that are building up their stamina and getting ready for those times of flag football.
Can't wait for all these D1 schools to be.
Yes.
Making programs.
Exactly. So we want to thank the Frazier mm-hmm. family at Pope. We want to thank the Cochran family at Southeast Bullock. We want to thank Marky Mark. We want to thank Ambassador Jeremy, even though his microphone doesn't work. We want to thank King James for
great thing.
Being on the ones and twos. And we want to thank all of y'all for hanging out with us, as always, that you do, as the big peace sign from King James. He's saying peace out. Basically, he's telling...
He's saying, wrap this show now. He's actually doing this.
Yeah,
wrap.
Exactly. So, because Hannah is saying that, that's what we're going to do. For all of us here at GPB, thanks for dropping by for the June version of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Play it safe, everybody. We'll see you next month.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you were going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.